You're tuned to KDWA AM 1460, FM 97.7, and this is Community In Depth. I'm your host for this segment, Mike Rood, and I have in the studio with me today the state representative for District 54B, Tony Juergens. Representative Juergens, it's good to see you again.
It's good to be back, Mike. And just like I think every time we're here, we say this, but I can't believe a week has passed already. That it seems like we were just here together yesterday.
About an hour ago.
But it was a week ago already.
Yep. And pretty soon that's going to be, it's been 2 months already. What is this?
Yeah, exactly.
It just seems the longer we're in time, the faster it goes. However, I understand that starting things up at the state legislature is kind of a slow-moving ordeal, if you want to call it that, as things get going. Tell me a little bit about what's been going on in your committees over the past week and the whole startup process and what's involved there.
Yeah, we had. So this past week, we had 2 days of where we met on the House floor for session. Both of them were, for the most part, not a lot going on. They call them paper push when you just are doing mm-hmm. some formalities and things like that.
Okay.
The bill introductions this year seems to be down from previous years. And the biggest reason for that is, you know, so if I have an idea for a bill, I send that idea to the revisor's office, and they're the ones that actually write that. They will reference the statutes that it appears in, and they'll put it in legal words that I wouldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
Any bill ideas that we have that we want introduced, we go to the revisor's office. Well, because of COVID, they're largely working remotely.
Okay.
And that's really slowing down their process. As of the other day, Speaker Hortman said, have some patience with the revisor's office. There are 1,700 bills.
Wow.
With backlog.
That all from this session, or is that from previous session?
No, bills start over with each session. Now, they'll carry over. Any bill that we have this year will carry over to next year, but at the end of the biennium, then they end.
And okay,
so you get a lot of repeats from bills from prior years, you know, and I've done that. I have bills that I had in prior sessions that I'll have rejacketed and introduce them again if we still want to continue to work on those. So that's a big part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope that members are a little more diligent in how many bills they request, just out of kindness, I guess, to the staff at the revisor's office. You know, some I've seen where, somebody will have an idea and they just don't really think about it. They just say, well, I'm going to introduce a bill on that. Sometimes it's to help, maybe pander to a constituent or something like that when they know that bill is not going to get passed, and it's probably not even going to get a hearing, but just say that they were working on it.
Yeah.
And, you know, hopefully people will back off on that a little bit just to help out the revisor's office, as difficult as it is for them. I mean, I think anybody that ends up with 100 bills is being a little selfish if that happens. So
it seems like it.
So hopefully that the revisor's office will get caught up. I was going to look, and I'm not even sure how many bills that we've had introduced so far this year. It's maybe a couple of hundred. And as a comparison, I think the last biennium, not even counting the 7 special sessions, I think we had about 4,500 bills total.
Wow.
So the last 2 bienniums, I think, have each set records for the number of bills. And this is just the House. So
right.
There's similar numbers in the Senate.
Sure.
So that's one thing that's a little bit different. Normally on these first days, you see dozens and dozens of bill introductions, and there's far fewer each day because of that backlog that the revisor's office has right now.
And what is the normal, if we have the revisor's office completely staffed, everybody's mm-hmm. there, what's the normal turnaround from an introduction to a product coming back to that particular legislator?
It depends on it's usually pretty quick, a day or two. Sometimes it takes a little bit longer, depending mm-hmm. on the scope of the bill
and how
much research that they have to do to, or how many other chapters within statute that they need to reference and cross-reference. So,
sure.
You know, the more intricate the bill, the longer it might take. But generally speaking, for just a standard bill, I've been able to get them back in past years within just a few days.
That's interesting. So in the pandemic now, and they're all working remotely, and that increases the turnaround time, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And is it also then fair to say that the revisor's office maybe is not as fully staffed as it normally would be, even if they are working remotely?
I think, to my knowledge, they're still fully staffed.
Yeah.
As far as I know, I haven't heard of any. I'm sure they are. It's just that, you know, they've got all of their resources at the office, and if half of the staff or the majority of the staff is working from home 4 days a week or whatever their schedule is, it just slows the process down a little bit. Mm-hmm. And they even did something that I thought was, I don't remember, they maybe did this before and I just don't remember it, but back in about December, I got an email that said, here are the bills that you were chief author of last session.
Right.
Put a check mark next to the bills that you want reintroduced this year, or that you want jacketed this year or written. And so even with that, even with working ahead and being proactive like that, I think they probably knew at the time that they wanted to get a jump on things. And so, but even with that, they're still a little bit behind, and not because they're not working hard. I know they all are. They do amazing work. But it's just with the constraints that are in front of them, it's making it a little more difficult.
And of course, getting the bill ideas comes from your constituents or things that the particular legislator observes in his home district.
Yeah.
But recently, you have been involved in virtual town halls that you have conducted with the people in your district, with other lawmakers in your district. I know you just had one last week, I believe.
Had two, actually, yes.
Two of them. And tell me a little bit about how those turned out for you.
They turned out, well, as everything, they're different this year, right? I mean, normally we do them in person, and unfortunately, we weren't able to do that. The first one was League of Women Voters, and that was held over Zoom. Normally, it's held at the River Oaks Golf Course or the event center in Cottage Grove.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did that over Zoom, and people could tune in and watch it. They submitted their questions ahead of time so that the moderator from the League of Women Voters just asked the questions. And it's different than a candidate forum before an election, because, you know, that's all behind us. And now it's just more questions about the upcoming session and what do you hope to get out of it? And what do you think are going to, you know, biggest challenges or biggest goals for the session and things like that. But you don't get that immediate feedback as you would when there's somebody, there's a crowd of people there. And then the other night Senator Bigham and Representative Frankie and I had a town hall forum that was broadcast on local cable, both Hastings, Cottage Grove, and South St. Paul, which is Frankie's district and Carla Bigham's district. And Commissioner Mike Slavik, he moderated that for us. So that was nice of him to. I joked when at the it was held at Cottage Grove City Hall. The four of us were live, and then viewers just tuned in and watched it online or on local cable TV. But I joked with Commissioner Slavik. It was nice to see him cross the bridge and go to the other side of the river for a change. But no, that went well too. And there again, the questions were submitted ahead of time. And Commissioner Slavik just went through and kind of combined some of the questions that were similar. And it lasted about an hour. But again, you lose that immediate feedback of, you know, when people are in the crowd. And even sitting at the Cottage Grove City Council chambers, I found myself looking around the room, but there's nobody, just out of habit, but there's nobody there.
Sure.
You know, I think that went well, too. We've heard some, you know, good feedback from people after both of those. So, you know, with everything, we still need to hear comments from the constituents, from the residents. And it's a little bit different to do it this way, but we still want to make that available to people.
It's the foundation of the whole process, I think. You can't effectively legislate and work up there if you don't know what your constituents are thinking.
That's absolutely right. And that's one of the challenges with the entire process. All of our committee meetings are being held over Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for the most part, the public is still able to testify, but it's just not the same. You know, this time of year, the halls of the state office building and the Capitol building are just buzzing with people. And we have constituents from Hastings, Cottage Grove, Afton, from the whole area that come up to visit on different topics, different things that they want to, you know, maybe they're just coming to meet with legislators, or maybe there's something going on in a committee meeting that interests them. And so they're attending the committee hearings as well, and maybe testifying. And they're not there this year.
Pin drop.
It is. I've been there just about every day. And there are other legislators there. And that's why I go in. But you rarely see people, you know, that everybody's just in their office and we're, you know, attending our committee meetings over Zoom. But occasionally you can still have conversations in the hallway with another legislator. And that's really what it's all about. That's how you collaborate. That's how you work across the aisle. That's how you get things done. And so we're at least a lot of us are still able to do that, at least on a at least some days we're able to.
So in the town hall meetings, what were some of the things that really stuck in your mind from the constituents and the questions that they presented? What did you take back to the Capitol to work on?
You know, a lot of it, of course, was, you know, what are the biggest goals for the year? And it's a budget year. So we talked a lot about budgeting. But, you know, COVID is on top of mind for everybody and the governor's emergency powers. And and so we talked a little bit about those things. And, you know, with the emergency powers, the governor just extended his emergency powers another 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
And in the House, we did have a resolution that would have ended that was voted down. But one thing that came up from that discussion that I thought was really promising is Gene Pawlowski is a state rep from Winona. I think he's been in the legislature for over 20 years.
Okay.
And he chairs the Subcommittee on Legislative Process Reform. And he said that his committee will be hearing in probably this week some changes to Chapter 12. Chapter 12 is a statute that has the emergency powers information in there. And a lot of us think that Chapter 12 really needs some revision. For example, pandemic isn't even mentioned in there because when they wrote it, I mean, nobody really thought that was going to be an issue.
When was it written?
Well, a lot of the updates came after 9/11.
Okay.
And then they were thinking more terrorist threats and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
The, you know, ricin and other nerve agents that, remember, if you recall, 20 years ago, there was a fear of those showing
the
up.
The attack in the Tokyo subway. I remember that.
Yeah, things like that. So that's a lot of how it's geared more towards things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it hasn't had a major revision, I don't think, in about almost 20 years.
Okay.
But obviously, a pandemic is a real, I mean, we're living it right now. So that's something that I think needs to be addressed in Chapter 12 in revisions. And so I was glad to hear Chair Pawlowski talk about holding committee hearings as early as this week to start discussing some of those things. One thing that I would like to see changed in with the governor's emergency powers is that, and some states have it written this way, in Minnesota, the governor can declare his emergency powers, and then every 30 days, he renews it, the legislature could rescind that. What I would like to see is a reverse, where in order to have the emergency powers extended, the legislature has to grant that authority.
So the governor would still make the initial declaration, I'm taking up emergency powers because pandemic.
Because there's an emergency, And I don't think anybody...
But then after the 30 days, the legislature would say, all right, you still need to be there doing that.
Yes. Yep.
That would bring you guys back to the table.
Bring us back to the table a little bit more, and
quicker.
That's really, you know, my issue all along has been with the process, and sometimes people think I'm bashing the governor, and I you know, I might not agree with all of his decisions, but I have a bigger issue with the whole process. That so much of these, you know, these executive orders, which impact people's lives, that there's been no legislative input on those. And, you know, we were talking about committee hearings, right? Just a few minutes ago, there could have been, should have been committee hearings on all these executive orders so that people could come in, have experts come in and testify that say, yes, we agree with this executive order and these are the reasons why, but have other experts that can come in and if they have a different opinion that they can say, well, you know, that's not necessary and here's the facts behind that. Let people of the, you know, from the public come in and testify.
From my understanding, what we have now, and to put it in basic terms, we have all these executive orders that are piled up behind like a beaver dam of the executive powers. And once that beaver dam is removed, those executive orders all flow downstream and things, as they stand right now, and as I understand it, correct me if I'm wrong, those things just revert to the way they were before the order was issued. Talking about stuff like evictions for rental and this kind of thing, that would all just automatically revert back to the way it was.
And every one of those could be handled legislatively. Mm-hmm. So you're right, but that should be part of the process.
That's what I'm hearing. Yeah.
Is that we don't, if we were to just end them without having that plan in place, there are some things that we would want to extend that don't get extended, and we could change all those and deal with all of those legislatively.
Mm-hmm.
Problem is, there hasn't been though. We haven't had those discussions in 10 months, and that's a little bit of the downside. I'm happy to hear Representative Pawlowski say that there's going to be hearings next week, but there could have been hearings 10 months ago, and we could have started dealing with, or somewhere along the line, we could have started those conversations. So that's the other side of it. But you know what? As we end up with something that there's some compromise or there's some input from both sides and from a lot of different a lot of different perspectives, that mm-hmm. I think, you know, if we end up with better law, that's what we all want out of it.
A lot of people talking about equality and all this, the term that I'm really becoming to and attach my wagon to is equitable.
Yeah.
You know, you can't just do something equally for everyone, because it doesn't always work that way. But if you strive for something being equitable that takes into account some people's different situations and doesn't just blanketly cover everything, you come out ahead, I believe.
Yeah, and we talked about this in one of the town halls with respect to the last budget, that the way that budget came about, if you recall 2 years ago, towards the end of session, it was the majority leader of the Senate, the majority leader of the House, or actually the Speaker, mm-hmm. and the governor, and they were in a room and they negotiated the final bill. And the end result, the product wasn't too bad. Everybody grumbled a little bit, which kind of lets you know that it's probably a good bill if everybody's grumbling a little and yeah. you know, they're happy with some of it and maybe not so happy with the other parts. So the product really wasn't too bad, but the process was horrible.
Right.
There were, you know, basically 199 legislators that were sitting on the sidelines waiting for that bill to come. And then it was, here's the agreed upon bill, take it or leave it. You really didn't have any input.
Mm.
And that's a bad way to create law, to create a budget.
Sure.
And I hope we don't do it this way. But the point is, in that deal that they came up with, there was a lot of compromise, and that's why nobody was completely happy with it, but yet they were a little happy with parts of it. So I guess that's a good product in the end.
The end, it doesn't always justify the means, though. We have to have more people in the deliberation room, if you will, hashing it out, you know, getting more perspective on it.
Yep, I agree.
We've got about 30 seconds left, and I'd like to give you once again the opportunity to provide people, your constituents, with your contact information should they have questions or concerns.
The best way is to send an email to rep.tony.jurgens@house.mn. My office number is 651-296-3135. Not always staffed there, though, because of COVID, a lot of working remotely, but you can leave messages there that we'll retrieve.
All right. Representative Jurgens, thank you again for your time. I really appreciate it when you come down here. You always give us such good information.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Mike, and have a great day.
I will do my best. You are listening to Community In-Depth on KDWA AM 1460, FM 97.7.